Good afternoon. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California. Nice Labor Day. It's September the 5th, 1977. And this is Dialogue Conspiracy number 285. The program today will consist of a discussion about Wilhelm Altman, the witness who had a press conference this last week regarding the John Kennedy assassination conspiracy. And then the bulk of the program will go into the new documents released by the Central Intelligence Agency on the object of controlling human behavior in the United States. Mr. William Altman, the Dutch journalist, came forward in April of this year, no, it was in the end of February, and said that George de Morenschild, his friend and associate who was working on a book on the Kennedy assassination, was missing. And 3 weeks later, George de Morenschild was dead. William Altman had a press conference in Washington just this last week, August the 30th, 1977, and he wanted to tell the story about a witness that he has who has the John Kennedy assassination story down pat, who ordered the killing of John Kennedy. He said at the press conference that Gerald Ford had received complete information as to who had killed John Kennedy long ago and had covered that up. He said that this witness's identity will be known only to President Carter and after President Carter offers safety for this particular man. Altman's source of information, a lot of it, as I say, was from George de Morenschild, who he claims was murdered in Palm Beach, Florida in March 1977. He was shot through the mouth. The story was that he killed himself, and Mr. Altman says that George de Morenschild was murdered. He said at the press conference that Jacqueline Onassis and Aristotle Onassis know who ordered the murder of the Kennedy assassination and that Onassis' son was murdered because of the information that his father had. On Dialogue Conspiracy in the past years, of course, I've mentioned that the reason Aristotle Onassis' son was murdered was because of these facts, and that George de Morenschild was the most important witness of all the 552 to be called, and that he was murdered. It wasn't a suicide. I was talking about this spring, even on the program of several weeks before he was dead. And I was saying that Gerald Ford was one of the primary people in covering up the Kennedy assassination. He should never have passed the confirmation hearings at the time of Watergate. He wrote a book on Oswald that was based upon perjured testimony and falsified evidence called The Portrait of the Assassin. He leaked information to Life magazine about a diary that Lee Harvey Oswald allegedly wrote with no proof that he wrote it. And he was at the Warren Commission meetings enough by reprinting the minutes of the meetings as testimony of Jack Ruby before or Jerry Ford when he was in Dallas, Texas. There was a lot of evidence that Gerald Ford had been covering up right from the very beginning. After the press conference in Washington, D.C., Mr. Altman was disgusted. The Washington Post didn't cover the story, and I heard from somebody in New York that the New York Times didn't cover it either. The excuse of the Washington Post was that there was no proof that Altman was telling the truth. But it's very important to the major media that I was discussing last week on Dialogue Conspiracy that they keep covering this story up, because if there was this conspiracy to kill John Kennedy, what are NBC and CBS and Associated Press, United Press going to do to handle this evidence if these witnesses come forward now and tell who knew about the conspiracy and who ordered the killing of the President of the United States? The various commissions have continued to conceal this evidence, the Rockefeller Commission, Senator Church's Senate Committee, and the House Committee now investigating the assassinations, turn the other way and refuse to accept a lot of information or evidence or witnesses. And Mr. Altman was disgusted and finally said that he was going to Holland on a Pan Am this last week and take the airplane. He talked to Ted Gandolfo, the researcher in New York, and said that he would bring his witness to the world media and that NBC would be carrying the story in about 2 weeks, and that the story of who killed Kennedy will not be suppressed by the news media, that it will be told. He said that George de Morenschild's testimony to this story was like the atomic bomb during World War II, and that the witness that he has available for the real story is like the hydrogen bomb, and that this witness will come forward. Ted Gandolfo asked him on the telephone, did Jimmy Carter see you? Would he see you in the White House? And Mr. Altman said his attorney, Mr. Lipschitz, introduced me to somebody at the Justice Department. Ted Gandolfo asked him, does Jimmy Carter agree favorably to expose this information? And Mr. Altman said, oh, definitely, because the plans include the killing of Jimmy Carter, and they would kill him. Therefore, it's in his best interest to expose it at this time. Of course, I've said that the pecking order since World War II was over, after President Eisenhower was in office with Richard Nixon as vice president, was to have Richard Nixon and Spiro Agnew and Ronald Reagan as presidents, as frontmen for this large intelligence operation. And Jimmy Carter's survival would depend upon exposing the Kennedy assassination, that the interim presidents were only there as interim presidents, and there was no way that Robert Kennedy or John Kennedy or Ted Kennedy could become president of the United States, or even allow votes taken away by the George Wallace attempts to become president. So the word from Mr. Altman was that Jimmy Carter would let the information out because he has it in his hands now. He knows who ordered the killing of the President of the United States, John Kennedy, and that he will release that. This conversation that I tape recorded of Mr. Altman talking to Ted Gandolfo was several days ago, and I talked to New York to Ted last night, and he told me that the Dutch newspaper office where Mr. Altman had his headquarters in New York City didn't know where Mr. Altman was the next day, that he usually checks in, and he was supposed to fly to Europe, whether he quietly slipped away or whether he's been done in, like George de Morenschild was after he was missing, we don't know. I hope he's safely on his way. He would be in Europe by now with a witness, and he will be producing it. I think he said NBC has the first rights to break the story. So if Mr. Altman is alive, you can look for a big story coming out on the Kennedy assassination within 10 days. And you can say, well, you heard it on KLRB, for whatever it's worth. A lot of the facts will be coming out. And then if this witness proves to be able to stay alive and come out with this information after 13 years, almost 14 years since the killing of President John Kennedy, then by another 14 years, all the pieces of the layers of cover-up and who is involved should be very clear to the American people. Maybe it would take 25, 26 years to unravel the political assassination syndrome in the United States. But the big way it's going to do is from people from the inside exposing it. Last week on Dialogue Conspiracy, I was very depressed by the committee in Washington, the various researchers who are getting nowhere in exposing their information, the news media barrage of lies and cover-ups, the new serials coming up, the books coming up. And when the program was over, I was saying to a friend who was here at the studio with me, it seems that the only way that this story ever really is going to break is when somebody in the inside, such as a Daniel Ellsberg with the Pentagon Papers, or James McCord leaving the scotch tape on the door at the hotel, Watergate Hotel in Washington. It's only somebody very high up in the inside who has a pang of conscience, if there's conscience left, who will begin the ball rolling, and then the researchers will come back in with their supporting evidence, and it will get out to the American people. It's obvious that Congress isn't going to do it. Their committees aren't going to do it. So we'll wait and see what Wilhelm Altman comes up with in the next 10 days. In the news, August 2nd, 1977, the New York Times, there was a large article, full page for the New York Times, that's a large article, on the newly released documents of the Central Intelligence Agency. John Marks, co-author of the book The Cull of Intelligence, worked in the State Department in 1966 as an analyst. Then he was a staff assistant to the intelligence director and left in 1970. And John Marks requested through the Freedom of Information Act documents on the mind control projects that the Central Intelligence Agency was doing in the United States. Now, the figures of these projects were overwhelming. Of course, I've mentioned this figure before. They admittedly have said $25 million was spent at 80 colleges and institutions in the United States over a period of 25 years for the express purpose of altering human behavior. Now, that's a big category to swallow. We will alter human behavior. And what I want to do on Dialogue Conspiracy today is, as much time as we have, to list for you some of the methods which these documents have stated they would use to alter human behavior, the purpose of the projects, and then the methods used, because in this broad category, the purposes are pretty shocking. Now, the sources of my information that I'm sharing with you come from the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, the San Jose Mercury, the Monterey Herald. They have generally been disseminated to various pieces of news the month of August, 1977. But when you compile them, like I did, and put them into columns, you get a story that is pretty shocking. And I do want to stress the methods by which the federal government took $25 million of our taxes and surreptitiously, this is without permission or knowledge of individuals, went about altering their human behavior. And this started immediately in 1947, according to the Pentagon and CIA documents. The minute World War II was over, Nazi doctors were brought over here that had been very successful in experiments in the concentration camps in Germany, and combined with doctors in the United States and also in Canada. And here are some of the stated purposes. And then once we get those defined on this program, we can apply them to all the other programs that I've done in the past, if you have the cassettes, or in the future, and see how these stated purposes fit into the historical period of the past 25 years. John Marx said that their techniques of mind bending and mind erasing included manipulating people's minds was the stated purpose of this project. And as I say, we'll go through the methods later, but the purpose was to manipulate their minds. One of the ways, as early as 1949, was to find ways of committing murder and getting away with it, with various substances. The purpose was to learn to control behavior through the use of bacteria. Bacteria would be used also to destroy petroleum products, and that's quite a large range. That could even include fertilizer, which is a petroleum product. They wanted to make sociological studies of the Chinese people under communism. They wanted to study an analysis of voting trends in Switzerland through drugs. These hardly need a comment, but I think you see where I'm going. This is surreptitiously, through LSD and other chemicals, study voting trends in Switzerland. If you do that there, you can certainly apply it to the United States. They were interested in almost anything to influence or predict how a person would act in terms of human behavior. They were interested in brothels for politicians, which could be applied to blackmail. They wanted to make people act peculiar under the influence of LSD. This also could be applied later for business contracts, such as the Hughes Empire that used a military man to fix up other military people with women and then blackmail them for contracts. They wanted to find a perfect blackjack, that's the term they used, to cause brain concussions. They wanted to find a way to make people who had a lot to drink stay sober as part of their mission. They wanted to find substances to promote illogical thinking and impulsiveness to the point where the recipient would be discredited in public. I think of Senator Muskie and Congressman Mills at the time that he was drunk on the stage with his little bombshell, or Martha Mitchell after Watergate, or various persons at rock concerts that were made to act peculiar. Find substances that would promote illogical thinking and impulsiveness to the point that the recipient would be discredited in public. This also was applied to Elvis Presley. They wanted to find a substance to make it impossible for a man to perform any physical activity whatsoever. Their purpose was to find substances to create a euphoria with no subsequent letdown, a permanent high, no matter how mean or bad things really were. I think of that now with people getting chemicals and all kinds of foods and chewing gums and bottled drinks and goodness knows what, because nobody is acting in proportion to the emergency of what's going on. There's this permanent euphoria of turning on the tube and drinking a beer and forgetting anything that's going on. One of the objects since 1947 was to get a euphoria. They wanted these knockout drugs that could incapacitate entire buildings full of people. I think of the air conditioning plans that were sold to the White House plumbers in 1972 in Miami. They wanted ways to manufacture food that looks and tastes normal, but when eaten creates anxieties and fears. So on the one hand, they want euphoria, and the other hand, fear. They wanted ways to achieve the controlled production of headaches. I think that's interesting. I flicked the TV on this morning while I was making the bed, and the first thing I saw was an Anacin ad for a headache. And then I thought of how many programs of TV commercials sponsor these terrible police movies and violent dramas and so forth. And I think the way the CIA wanted to control the production of headaches. They wanted to reduce the man to earaches, twitches, jerks, staggers, reduce people to self-doubting masses to subvert their principles. And that can be applied to so many Jewish people becoming Nazis as part of these political assassination syndromes. We can go into that later. I just want to stick to their purposes and the methods today. They wanted a long-range plan to induce anemia so that the agents would not remember their superiors and the superiors would not be compromised. They wanted to wipe clean the memories of their own agents after certain missions, especially when they went into retirement. That's similar to the movie The Borgia Stick. I think of people whose memories have been erased, and there's endless numbers that we've talked about on this program that might come to your mind. They wanted ways to kill and get away with it. They wanted ways to murder without leaving a trace. They wanted to administer lethal drugs through small spray guns to make people pass out or get amnesia through these aerosol cans. They wanted to study the writings of the psychologists who worked with Adolf Hitler and worried about the occult. I've talked before on Dialogue Conspiracy about Adolf Hitler. There's a book out by John Tolan on Hitler in which he was treated by a psychiatrist, Edmund Forster, from the Chief of Berlin University Nerve Clinic, and he had a hysteria, a blindness from a hysteria, and he was programmed. He heard voices like Joan of Arc, he would save Germany. Ernest Weiss, another doctor, wrote a book called The Eyewitness, a Soldier, in which he suggests that Hitler was given hallucinogenic drugs and hypnotic suggestion. And we have leaders like Donald DeFries or David Berkowitz or many of these people following the pattern of Hitler. The New York Times mentioned specifically that the CIA wanted to get the work of the hypnotist of Adolf Hitler and bring it to the United States. They wanted to use LSD and drugs surreptitiously as an offensive operational usage against the enemy without defining the enemy. Because remember, the 80 American institutions became the enemy to be tested. The students, the book came out, LSD on the campus. American youth became the enemy of their parents, of their government. And of course, this could be applied to actors, musicians, political activists. Once the CIA defines the enemy, $25 million was spent in perfecting this. They wanted a lot of tick venom to cause muscle paralysis. After the flu shots last year, the swine vaccine, there were hundreds of paralysis cases in the United States that haven't been explained. They wanted insect venom to cause involuntary sleep. Whether that's just temporary for an hour or death wasn't defined in the New York Times articles. They wanted brainwashing techniques to speed up the treatment of psychological patients, eliminate their bad feelings and attitudes. That may be one positive use, but so far that's the only positive use I can see out of the testing. They wanted to compare the effects of LSD and alcohol and predict how a person will react in a given situation. They wanted to identify the pleasure and pain centers of the brain, and this was done, of course, through electrodes and LSD, and the subjects weren't aware that they were being tested. They worked on monkeys and then carried these experiments over to humans. They wanted to produce a maximum level of physical and emotional stress in human beings, which was done in various hospitals and institutions. And they wanted to discover the biochemical mechanism to cause deliriums. They wanted to render an individual helpless or animals helpless and immobile, either consciously or unconsciously, until definite control measures could be instituted. That means that a whole town or community could be taken over if everybody is left immobile. And I think this is one of the reasons for the animal mutilations, is to get the animal defenseless and then skin them and cut off the tongue, the genitals, and leave them around to frighten the communities, which is happening in the Midwest and South and seems to be linked to Army helicopters. They wanted to find instances and situations where an advantage could be utilized of rendering people immobile and unconscious. And in quotes, they said, the advantages here are too numerous to be mentioned. In 1960, it was great to go for a project of making an individual helpless And all of these, again, were added surreptitiously without permission and secretly. They wanted to find ways to lower the IQ, and one of the institutions that they wanted to experiment on it that has been revealed is Stanford University. Frederick E. Terman is mentioned as a recipient of CIA money at Stanford University. And you know, Mr. Terman was one of the men working on IQs and gifted children at Stanford. Stanford was the home of the Stanford-Binet IQ test that have now been written up in a book by Mr. Ehrlich as being totally racist and without any redeeming value. The IQ test is geared to keep black people and minorities out of the mainstream of the economic and social culture by reducing their ability to get an education, testing them and screening them out, and gearing the questions towards a slanted way. So one of the stated motives that came out August 21st was to lower IQs, and one of the institutions that is named as the recipient is Stanford, and Stanford is the home of the IQ test. They wanted to give drugs, LSD, to Vietnam veterans and test them and see if the drugs would work after they were alcoholics, work on alcoholics, and turn them to drugs, and then from drugs to killers. And again, I think of the drug scene, the rock festivals at Altamont, the various rock concerts, and the drugs that were administered or handed out, particularly the killing up at Altamont that the Hells Angels did after a laboratory from Oakland supplied them with what was supposed to be a drug such as LSD. They wanted what was known as a K drug, that means knockout, to terminate advanced cancer patients. And I think of Jack Ruby and Martha Mitchell and some other famous cancer patients that were quickly terminated after a very short cancer. The CIA could experiment on giving cancer, and then they could have drugs to kill advanced cancer patients. They got them into a hospital in Georgetown, right in Washington, D.C., and I think of Hubert Humphrey with his cancer, or Mr. Hart, Senator Hart, called the conscience of the Senate, who died last year, the one man who really spoke up against some of the things happening in Washington, D.C. If you begin to chart out who's getting the cancer and who's living, who's speaking up, it would be very interesting now that the CIA has admitted testing these cancer drugs. We've suspected it a long time, but this is one of their stated purposes. They wanted amnesia drugs to silence their agents, and we know that works. It worked very well on many people on their deathbeds. They couldn't remember or talk really about what happened or what they saw. They wanted a person to not be able to disclose intentionally or inadvertently after they left the agency, produce the amnesia, protect the CIA, in quotes, by various means, that they could control amnesia by various means. And I've said the Son of Sam or Gary Gilmore or Jack Ruby or Sirhan Sirhan and many of these famous people were controlled through the use of drugs for amnesia. They wanted to cause reversible chemical lobotomies by using LSD and other chemicals to produce the effect of a lobotomy. I always have to clarify in the listing of the drugs that they use, that I'm not talking about a pure LSD. Other chemicals similar to LSD were used and combined and slipped surreptitiously into food and drinks or given in other forms at hospitals with chemicals at 80 institutions, $25 million, 25 years, and I'm just reading their stated purposes of the Central Intelligence Agency. They wanted to find substitutes for codeine, other than codeine as a painkiller. I don't know why they'd want to do that. They wanted to find find ways to murder without leaving any characteristic pathological findings of any kind. They tried this on Northrop Airline pilots, giving them LSD for experiments, and I think of the airplane pilot that had Dorothy Hunt when she was landing in Chicago at the height of the Watergate, just after the story broke. It was December after the Watergate burglary and arrest, and Dorothy Hunt was a bag woman for the CIA and hush money. The last thing her pilot said on the recording system was, "I'm sorry," and he went under. And I wonder if these pilots were given anything in their food that would time it so when that plane went out, just outside of Chicago, the FBI agents were there, 40 or 50 of them, ready to swoop up the evidence outside of the airplane, because they wanted to find ways to kill without any pathological findings. I think of the airplane crash of Dag Hammarskjöld or Walter Ruth or many people who have died without any trace of them, or William Harvey, who testified before the Senate committees, and he had a heart attack, and I've mentioned before that an agent of the CIA told me that he provided the medication for that heart attack. They wanted to regress the mind through the use of hypnosis as well as drugs. They wanted to disturb memory, discredit people through their behavior, to alternate their sex patterns. Maybe this is why you see so many people that are becoming gay or so many lesbians up front. The CIA has had chemicals to try to alter sex patterns. Maybe some of these changes are that people are just open around their relationships now and coming out that there's always been as much of this. But when you read that the government has to chemically find ways to alter sex patterns, it's pretty frightening. And this is admittedly one of their projects. And, of course, using drugs to create information that would come out, elicit information, and create emotional dependency. We see so many young people growing up today who leave home late, that don't get out in the world, who have a harder time making it, that are dependent upon the families, and I wonder how much emotional dependency is going through their diet, of whether it's the television or the food and the chemicals that they're getting that is creating this kind of dependency. The CIA wanted to unlock the minds of sexual psychopaths. They went into Michigan, Iona State Hospital, to unlock their most secret thoughts and use chemicals and drugs and hypnosis to find out what they were thinking. They wanted this material to be used as a weapon. This was stated in the newspaper August the 9th. LSD would be useful as a weapon, and it is that weapon that I think was used in the 60s and 70s to break up the entire youth movement through the experiments on the Manson family and the SLA. These drugs were a combination of chemicals to create leaders, alter human behavior, and see if you can get people to go out, whether it's to rob a bank or kidnap or do any of the tricks that they were doing, writing on the wall, acting incoherent, leaving traces around and not getting arrested by the police right under their nose. I think that these substances were being tested and will be tested more and more as a weapon. Dr. Sanborn Bachoven was working with this project. Bachoven reminds me of Nazi Germany. It's not very funny, but it's a funny name for this project. They wanted to find the effectiveness of these substances on all social levels, high and low, Native American Indians, foreigners. And one of the gentlemen behind the testings was General Lyman Kirkpatrick. He was a CIA inspector who was behind these projects of mind testing. He's the man that Jimmy Carter suggested to be deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency just a few weeks ago or a month ago. And the same man was behind these testings and was a part of them going all along. And in quotes, this is what Kirkpatrick wrote, "It is of great significance that the testing has been performed on a variety of individuals within these categories." I think of Mr. Oaks, the Indian leader that was killed. First, he was hit on the head in San Francisco and almost died. And when that didn't kill him, he was shot in the woods, and the man who killed him was let off. These people could be given substances that let their guard be down. They can be taken in a place where they're in danger, be shot, and not taste the substance in their food, and their resistance is down. They wanted to create a natural toxic psychosis to find out about mind disorientation. They wanted to create delirium and coma. And as I say, they wanted to treat the terminally ill cancer patients. They wanted to try the brainwashing technique very early. The CIA was doing it in 1965 and earlier up at McGill University in Montreal. A Dr. Wolf from Cornell was working with Alan Dulles of the Central Intelligence Agency. And, of course, Alan Dulles was on the Warren Commission and had a lot to do with the lies and stories about Lee Harvey Oswald, or the manipulation of doubles of Lee Harvey Oswald. And he was so deep into the Kennedy assassination. And yet Alan Dulles was the man who started the CIA after the OSS days and began the altering of human behavior in 1947. It's no wonder that our assassins, or alleged assassins, the men who didn't do the shooting but sat in jail as patsies, like Arthur Bremer and James Earl Ray and Sirhan Sirhan, had those silly grins, and these people like David Berkowitz have these silly grins and don't know who they are. When men like Alan Dulles of the CIA began experiments as early as 1947 and could achieve these conspiracies and hide them, and these memories are erased from these men. Another purpose was to study illnesses from voice patterns, take voice patterns of various people and monitor them and find out what their illnesses are. They wanted to experiment on isolation and sensory deprivation of humans. They put some nurses in a room, just a short time in a dark room, and drove them practically crazy with bad effects after just a half hour, and yet they put men in solitary confinement in the prison for years at a time. And I'm sure that this is part of the brainwashing experimentations that continues on. They wanted to demonstrate how hypnosis can help espionage agents. They used sodium pentothal. Candy Jones wrote about that in her book. And they wanted to study potent drugs, all kinds of drugs, Thorazine, LSD, Serenel, to test human minds and to immobilize human beings. They were using these drugs. They had to elicit information, as I say, and create the dependence and control behavior through all of these methods. They wanted to find out at what point somebody will do our bidding against his will, even against the fundamental laws of nature and self-preservation. That is one of the most disgusting purposes of this whole mind-bending program. In quotes, to get the control of an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will, and even against such fundamental laws of nature and self-preservation. I think of the Nazi leader, Mr. Cowan, in Chicago, whose father was at Auschwitz in a concentration camp, and he is becoming the overt leader of the American Nazi Party. About 14 years ago, there were Nazis arrested in Los Angeles, and Paul Coates, the newspaper man, interviewed them, and one of them was Jewish. And they went into the problem of fratricide and his wanting to kill his father and becoming an active Nazi. I think of Bernard Weissman at the time of the Warren Commission hearings, who was called as a witness. His testimony is in the 26 volumes of the Warren Commission hearings. You can find it indexed in volume 15, who testified they wanted to use my name the day that Kennedy was killed on the poster because I am Jewish, even though it was paid for by the Birch Society. When they asked Jack Ruby, why did you kill Lee Harvey Oswald, he said, I wanted to show them a Jew had guts. They turned David Berkowitz around from a Jewish boy to a baptized Baptist, and he became this notorious Son of Sam killer in New York City. I talked this week to a member of the Manson family. She was one of the original members before Charles Watson joined the group, and she told me things about the Manson family and the drug testing there, and I asked her if she wanted to do a book with me. And she was scared to do it for various reasons that I won't go into here. And I said, well, what have you got to lose? You know, you have nothing to lose if you're silent, but in my case, I feel that it's important to get this information out. I said, you're white and Christian, and you've got enough to handle now with what happened. She had been on death row 3 years. And I said, it's silly for you to write this book if you feel uneasy. And she said to me, I'm an orphan. My mother, my grandmother, and my father's mother, my mother's mother were killed in concentration camps in Nazi Germany, and I was an orphan. And both grandparents were murdered by Adolf Hitler. And she joined the Manson family knowing that Charles Manson's hero was Adolf Hitler. This is what the LSD tests do. We could go on, and this is the insidious level of turning people against their belief systems. In quote, the purpose of Lubbock Artichoke was to get control of an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will and even against such fundamental laws of nature as self-preservation. They wanted to find systems of delivering, as I say, in food and drinks or injections. That was one of the ways to inject to alter the human behavior and make this drug program an offensive weapon to figure out how to sabotage crops and material sabotage in addition to oil products such as fertilizer. You remember John Kennedy was furious that the CIA put chemicals into a sugar crop from Cuba that landed in Puerto Rico on the way to the Soviet Union. And he said, we'll go into chemical warfare if you do this. And he was just furious. Well, the CIA was working then and probably still now on crop and material sabotage, as well as unlocking people's secret and innermost thoughts. They had to find the levels of your brainwashing, and they did it through various people in hospitals, prisons, private mental hospitals, without their consent, with a combination of various drugs. The whole program is so offensive, and as I say, you can break down the applications, the using of call houses,
for blackmail. You could control the police chief, the district attorneys, members of Congress, visiting officials, get government contracts. And then they wanted to utilize, as I say, the aerosol cans to have a delivery system of psychochemicals, such as LSD and spray cans for a weapon. And I think of Robert Albanap, the chemist who has the large control of the aerosol cans, who put Richard Nixon into power, helped Richard Nixon, worked with John Mitchell and the intelligence community, and the aerosol cans became a weapon of study and, I'm sure, application to spray people to alter their behavior just through the aerosol cans. Another purpose was to cause schizophrenia in a way that wouldn't be diagnosed by doctors who saw the person. He could be called in and not be recognized. They wanted to cause amnesia, instant or long range, and total brainwashing. And these were the stated purposes, just not from the Senate reports or the Rockefeller reports, but just in the New York Times and the new exposés that have been declassified. Richard Helms of the CIA, the director of the CIA, who began very early with Allen Dulles in these experimentations, was supposed to have destroyed many of these documents on the eve of his departure to become the ambassador to Iran. But some of these have been discovered in another location and have been exposed and will be put in a book by Mr. John Marks. Now, for the last 8 minutes or so, I can give you some of the ways by which those purposes were done. For one thing, they bought a lot of tetanus toxoid. They bought bags of lime for burials. They were supposed to use for animals, but I think of the story of the Romanovs. At the time, they were supposed to have died in Russia, and lime was used. The bodies were never really discovered. The CIA bought lime for their experiments. They used brothels. They used dope addicts and prostitutes, and the method was to sit there and record what people were doing, give them exotic chemicals and biological agents, and then turn this over on a microphone, and various people could listen to it. They wanted substances to make you act illogical, chemical substances to inhibit your physical activity. They used morphine-like molecules for the human brain. They used a chemical called enkephalin, E-N-K-E-P-H-A-L-I-N, endorphins that would help relax. They used thorazines, tranquilizers, LSD. Serenol was used to immobilize. These were some of the chemicals that were used for their memory. They kept pools of human subjects to continue their cover. In Georgetown, they had medical patients there, and then they had a pool of other people in the hospital, so nobody would know that the CIA was doing these experiments, and they used them on animals, and they also used them on humans. Their chief interest at one institution was toxic substances, the cerebral state centers of patients, and one institution got $43,000 for toxic substances. They analyzed blood serums, cerebral spinal fluids, intraperitoneal fluids from the abdomen, pleural fluids from the lungs, and then they studied terminal cases and studied toxic cerebral states. Can you imagine how many injections into people and fluids taken from them? And they didn't know that they were being used by the CIA for the express purpose of not curing their disease, but altering human behavior for maybe the entire United States. They found two chemical substances, sodium fluoracetate, which ingested that would cause death without any lesions. They found tetraethyl lead that could be dropped on the skin with no lesions that would cause quick deaths. They looked into these exotic methods that I mentioned once before, putting a person in a tightly sealed room with a cube of dry ice, and they would die without any chance of being detected. And of course, they used pillows to smother and bath towels to strangle. They tested substances to administer surreptitiously certain thiols, T-H-I-O-L-S, or chemical compounds analogous to the alcohol, and they wanted curare-like effects on these thiols. They studied vital organs other than the brain to see what made your mind go from a wild mental disorientation into finally delirium or comas. They gave everyone a help. One report says that they tried 100 new drugs and found 3 to be very promising, including a potent new type of barbiturate and possible alcohol anecdotes. At the Georgetown University, the CIA sponsored this project with full professional cover provided for three biochemical employees of the chemical division of the Army and the CIA. And in quotes, the human patients would be available under controlled clinical conditions with the full supervision of, and there's a blank. This drug project took, as I say, 25 years, and the effect of it we're still feeling. They went into criminal records in Michigan, and the way they did their research was they selected people from the police files, the Detroit recorders, court psychiatric clinics. The state judges were informed about the CIA tests, and they actually went into court files to take certain people that were in these hospitals or prisons and to begin experiment them. They exploded with liquid filled with glass models to test the brain blowing up. They tested brain concussions and air guns with a small sack filled with lead shots that when it came next to the body exploded and only took a minute blast to cause a concussion. They had injections of small quantities of gas on cubic centimeter that they put into the spinal cords. As they say, they used tick venom to cause muscle paralysis. They tested alcohol and chlorpromazine. That's another chemical that was mixed into these experiments. I gave you the purposes of these alterings of human behavior. These are some of the ways they did it. They hypnotized people in hotel rooms. They used LSD. And to that, in quotes, they added related materials. And there's a whole category of chemicals, which I have, that they've used through the years, but which have not been in the major media yet that I can get a hold of. They used magicians. They used, as I say, Thorazine, Serenel. Thorazine is now on the market for human consumption. They tested Serenel, which was taken off the market for humans, and they found it immobilized primates. Well, that is a pretty grisly account. I may next week continue on Dialogue Conspiracy with more of the ways that they experimented on these particular people. The purposes are so grotesque, and I think stated and listed as I have done, you'll see that they cover practically the whole era of political conspiracies and assassinations, getting agents to be useful, turning them against their belief system, studying pain, how to murder without being discovered. It was more than just altering the human behavior. It was actually changing a whole society sociologically around through chemicals and hypnosis and surgery. I believe that is what they've been doing. They're admitting they're doing it, and all you have to do is look around and see that it's working. Well, I don't mean to be so depressive. This is a pretty bad way to end, but we'll continue next week more on the mind control. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's Dialogue Conspiracy. You keep well and keep your mind straight till next week.
There is a truth I thought to myself while driving down Route 68. The car in front is a Renault. It's not behind, it's not a Ford. There is a truth of how things happen. If it was yesterday, it wasn't 1894. And if tomorrow not a two come true, there'll be another truth in store. And those who think there's no truth, that all depends on point of view. We'll lock us up, fire the bombs, made only for a gentleman to use. The president is just a choice, he should not incite or claim his fame. One November night, I heard the screaming horns, a new America had changed her name. We're not the same, you and I are not. You who call free thinkers enemies, you are clearly now the enemies. And we will do what we must do to keep it free, like I must write and she must sing and they must slave. You must have heard that we will never really rise again. The minds behind the plastic mules gave the word, they cannot just mow us down. It's they who are the arch anemic ones. Ours are free, tender girls. Ours are mountain climbing sons. So you and I, we disagree. Truth exists, but misery.